KOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Well, happy Monday from inside the 24-hour, well, not the 24-hour KBOA newsroom. Man, I'm already...
That's two doors down.
In weather report mode from yesterday. From inside the KBOA studios, nonetheless. Welcome into the Talk of Emporia. Tegan Trahoon is your host here today. It is the third Monday of the month, which means it is time for the Q&A with Trey. And, of course, that means we welcome in Emporia City Manager Trey Conking. Trey, good morning to you, and thank you for helping keep me on track here.
Hey, good morning. We had some rough storms last night, so I'm happy to be here. But we do have some folks here cleaning up some damage this morning. Took a little bit of a tour around. And just want to remind everybody that the transfer station is open for brush and limbs. There is no charge to dispose of those as folks are taking care of things. But definitely does appear that we had some folks with some damage in town. So if you think about it, help your neighbor out. City crews are trying to do their best to get streets clear. But we appreciate everybody who's out there helping each other.
I said it last night, I was talking to our other guests who we'll introduce here in a moment. I was driving last night doing reports out in the field, and I felt like I was playing real-life Mario Kart at times. Driving around, I was having to kind of dodge and weave through different trees and stuff like that, and then you factor in a lot of the power outages on certain parts of town. You couldn't see some of that stuff coming. So, I think based on the reports that we've heard and everything, I feel like we got very lucky in certain regards, that all we really had was a lot of tree debris. Nobody got hurt from what we've heard. So, really, when you kind of factor it in, you'd rather be picking up tree limbs than, obviously filling out reports on accidents and things like that.
Absolutely. I saw some big branches that went down. If they'd gone the other way into a house, it could have been bad. A couple cars that did get smashed. So, definitely some damage from the storm. So, I keep on saying, help your neighbor out, and we'll get through this together.
I will say I did think Mother Nature had kind of a sense of humor. Of course, the first day of summer vacation, so all the tree debris. Hey, at least the kids are around to help you clean it up, right?
There we go. Get your fifth grader out, and to teach him how to use a chainsaw like today.
Put him to work. Well, as much as I would love to sit here and talk a little bit more about the storm reports, we have more of that information available over on the webpage. Chuck Samples will also have more information on all of that coming up in the 12 o'clock block of news and information. But, of course, this is the Q&A with Trey, and, we're going to be revisiting a topic that we've talked about quite excessively over the last few months, but we have another perspective on it today. We're talking about the Quaker Park saga, which kind of came to an end here about a month ago, and we'd actually like to welcome in one of the individuals who was responsible for that outcome, one of the community organizers, and Eric Paul. Eric, thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate you taking some time to come and talk with us.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. And Eric, we've gotten the city's perspective on the Quaker Park. I don't even want to call it an issue because I don't think it really was an issue so much as just a kind of a debate, a dialogue. I've used the term saga a few times. We've got their perspective, but I really want to get yours, especially on the outcome of everything that happened. Because, we hear about petition efforts a lot, and I don't think we ever write a lot of stories about, this successful petition, or this or that, or, a petition with over 800 signatures. Usually it's, there was 5 signatures, there was 4 signatures, there was maybe 1 or 2. This one garnered, I believe, over 800 signatures, and I believe only a little less than maybe 200 were deemed invalid. The petition itself, very much valid. And the city, before the validation process was even complete, decided, we're not going to do anything with Quaker Park. The people have spoken. What was that like for you and your fellow organizers to realize your voices really did make a difference?
It was very exciting. I was glad to see that, they reacted to the efforts that we had put in, regardless of the outcome with the number of signatures. Me being the type of guy that I am, I got the voter rolls and I went through everyone name by name to make sure that we had enough for it to be valid. And so, I wasn't going to relax until the count was actually official. Mm-hmm. But we were all very satisfied with the result that we got, came together.
you know, we often hear a lot of times people saying the words, you know, I don't think my voice really carries. I don't think my voice matters. Do you think this is validating for a lot of the people who maybe have felt that way in the past?
I sure hope so. I heard that a lot when I was collecting signatures from a lot of folks who said that, you know, I'll write my name down here, but the city's going to do what the city wants to do, and it doesn't really matter. So I hope they look at this and recognize that actually that the city does listen. You just have to put in the little effort to make your voice heard sometimes, but yeah, I hope that empowers them a bit to get involved.
Well, Trey, I want to throw it over to you. I mean, you talk about empowerment and you talk about city engagement a lot. That's something that's been a big part of the city's efforts since you've come on board. You've taken a lot of steps to do that. Safe to say, it seems like that dialogue is finally starting to reach out and it's coming to fruition. People are realizing, okay, there is validity to what they're saying. You know, it may not happen on every occasion. You know, there might be some occasions where it's not the same scenario, but overall, okay, the city is listening. They are hearing what we're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, commissioners, myself, we all live in this community. We live in this city. We want this city to be the best it can be. And that means being open to hear what the diverse voices are saying and taking time to listen. And, you know, we've really made an effort to listen. At times it's, you know, it's difficult to separate the noise from the signal. You know, lots of times there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions, and when you sit down and explain it, or, you know, in this case, this was not a knee-jerk reaction at all. This was a very thoughtful process, but, you know, you had our land bank that went through a thoughtful process. You know, in retrospect, it could have probably been a little more diligent in looking at some things before moving forward with their proposal. But, you know, I think everybody had, you know, the land bank really wanted to go out and they wanted to create more housing. We know housing is a huge impediment for us from getting people to our community. So how do we deal with housing? You know, and at the same time, we know how incredibly important park space is to the community and that green space and, you know, having a place for kids to play. You know, I think if we had done, you know, and I've been, you know, pretty forthright since the beginning, we should have done neighborhood engagement before we went to the larger plan to roll out. And that's where we failed. You know, our next, you know, kind of next thing we're doing is looking at dealing with some brick streets. We're very much going to have a dialogue with the community before we move forward with that section. And looking at, you know, putting asphalt down on brick streets, on a couple of really bad brick streets. But we want to hear from the neighbors before we push forward with that. Because, you know, the best ideas are not centered in City Hall. They're centered throughout the community, and we have to listen for those.
Do you think that in a way this effort by the local residents has helped make the city realize maybe we need to be a little more intentional with the things we're doing rather than just kind of signing off on certain things? Not to say that's what you did, but, you know, kind of looking at it in retrospect, you know, you talk a little bit about some things could have been a little more developed from the land bank. Do you think that it's just given maybe a little bit more of a sense of intention when it comes to projects like this?
Well, you know, and the one thing I'll say, and, you know, Mark Detter, our deputy city manager, has said, we play a lot of whack-a-mole at, you know, at the Civic Auditorium. And, you know, yeah, I think we need to be more intentional, and it's hard to really, as those moles keep on popping up and you keep on whacking them, which ones do you need to study a little bit more before you, because, you know, our plates are constantly busy. There's constantly stuff going on. But, you know, yes, there is a need to be more intentional.
Do a little more of a dissection of the mole that you whacked.
Yes. Not just...
Can't wait to see that class in high school,
know,
but...
One of the best employees I ever had is... always said... Or one of the best employees I ever had, one of his favorite sayings was, just because you have a hammer in your hand doesn't mean everything's a nail.
Mm. Eric, a question for you is... Was maybe instilling a more of a sense of intention part of the reason why you all developed this petition, or was it simply just trying to save the park and the retrospect from the city was kind of a nice cherry on top?
Yeah, I'd say the latter. When I originally got involved with it. It was really just about saving that particular park. You know, I moved here from out of state a couple of years ago. My wife grew up in Emporia. So I sort of have an outsider's perspective of what it's like to be here. And one thing that is different about Emporia than my home is that we had lots and lots of public lands, lots and lots of hiking trails. Emporia doesn't have a lot of that stuff, but it does have great parks. And I think that the parks, because of the lack of that other stuff, the parks are even more important. And to see that they were considering, you know, getting rid of this park and maybe a few others on the list, I really wanted to get involved. And, you know, I saw my skill set as being good at organizing. I don't live by the park. I don't feel like it's necessarily my voice that comes through in the petition. What I was hoping to do was just make the information available to everybody and to help them organize to make their voices heard.
It seems like both the city and yourself and the other organizers were trying to do the same thing. It was civil service in a way, just in two different forms. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Trey?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and I can't – I keep on saying this, but I cannot applaud Eric's team for what they did. Their effort was huge. And, you know, I keep on –
I think you mean to say you can't applaud them more or there's not enough applause.
There's not enough applause for them, yeah.
But just trying to save you from the internet people.
Yeah, save me from the internet people, yeah. No, they have done a great thing. And, you know, I keep on saying local government is different. I think so often people just get frustrated with the government in general and lump federal, state, local together. And local government, I mean, it's why I work in local government, because your opinion matters and we can do things quicker. We can make things happen a lot quicker. We don't have the federal government's resources, but at the same time, we have the ability to listen to folks a lot more than anybody. You know, What drives me crazy is come November, we're going to have 80% turnout in a presidential election that really doesn't matter how we vote in Kansas because, you know, unless something just wacky changes, we're going to vote red. We've voted red since 1936. Yeah. You know, but local elections, I mean, if we had an 80% turnout in the local election, it would be huge. It would make a big difference in our community versus 20%. So I fundamentally don't understand why people are willing to vote in federal elections where, quite frankly, being in Kansas doesn't matter versus every vote you make in a local election. I mean, our last election, 40 votes different between the third place finisher and the fourth place person who didn't come in the election. So votes matter, and I've seen more ties and more one-vote margins in local elections than people can imagine.
Well, Eric, you know, to kind of close out this first segment here, I think Trey brings up an interesting point, and I want to kind of dovetail it off to this whole saga. You know, a lot of people, again, we hear them say our voice doesn't matter and things like that. And sometimes that's true at the federal level when you're one person in a smaller state. But I think what you and your team have proven is that your voice does matter. It's just sometimes it's situational. And, you know, sometimes it's more impactful at the smaller level, but oftentimes that's where it's the most important when it's the community that you live in.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree with the things that Trey said. You know, I talked to a lot of people who wanted to sign the petition, but they weren't registered to vote. And the reason they weren't registered to vote is because they're frustrated with national politics. And it, you know, it's so clear to me, especially having come from a larger town to now being here, that your voice really does matter at the local level. And the decisions that are made at the local level affect your life to a much greater degree than the national stuff does. And so, you know, I would encourage anybody to get registered to vote, not just for the national elections, but because who knows, maybe there's going to be another petition to sign and you'd like to be able to sign it. The local elections, like when I looked at the numbers of how many people actually vote for the city commissioners, I can't believe that the turnout is as low as it is.
You two are putting a smile on the face of Tammy Beaupont right now because this is her thing. This is what she always preaches as well. And I think you guys are really doing a great job of coming together and helping her office out with some of their promotion. So we're going to take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on the Quaker Park saga, which involves, of course, Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking here on the the Q&A with Trey segment. Also, community organizer Eric Paul. So far, a fantastic dialogue. Looking forward to keeping it going right after this timeout, which is brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
Newman Regional Health wants you to get the most from your healthcare in Emporia. Our surgeons have the experience and expertise in state-of-the-art robot-assisted surgeries, minimally invasive surgeries, and traditional open procedures. All pre- and post-diagnostics, advanced imaging, and follow-up appointments are provided here in the comfort of our community. Ask your favorite doctor or find us online. Newman Regional Health, achieving healthy goals.
Dining out tonight or wanting food to go? How about Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue? Home of the best smoked meats from ribs to brisket to pulled pork and more. Plenty of sides to choose from, including their famous cheesy potatoes. Enjoy tonight's dinner special. A brisket dinner that includes 8 ounces of thick, hand-carved, slowly smoked brisket, along with your choice of two sides, all for just $12.25. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
Garage sale listings on the air and on the web.
It's so convenient.
At garage sale prices.
And it's just wherever you need it.
Log on to KVOE.com for details. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Monday morning, the monthly Q&A with Trey. City Manager Trey Cocking joining us here in the KVOE studios. Also, community organizer Eric Paul, one of the individuals who helped organize the petition to save Quaker Park, the successful petition to save Quaker Park. I should mention again, Talk of Emporia today, I just want to remind you, is being brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone that has the experience to make your event a success and call Bobby D's today to book your event, as well as by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever before. That is Newman Regional Health. Well, you know, we were just talking about some very big issues. You know, Eric and Trey both talking about the importance of registering to vote, whether it's for the elections or, in this case, the petition that needed to be signed by registered voters here. And Eric, you talked about how some people were not registered simply because of the fact that they don't feel as though their voice counts. And I guess before I move on to my next line of questioning, I kind of want to put a bow on this and just ask, do you think that the fact that the petition worked and really changed the mind of city leadership is a great sign that maybe people should be registered just because, okay, maybe there is some truth to this process, whether it be signing a petition or whether it be voting? You know, there is validity to the my voice counts.
I think so, absolutely. I mean, you can look at the petition itself being successful, but also just the accessibility of our government, our local government here. You know, the commission meetings are open door. Anybody can go sit in on the meetings. I've been in to a few. You know, I'm just a guy, and now I'm sitting here with the city manager, and we're talking about this petition process that I think there's plenty of opportunity for people to get involved at the local level, and I hope that they do.
I love how he said, now I'm sitting here with the city manager. He didn't say I'm sitting here with Tegan Trahoon, but that's fine.
No. You're really a local celebrity.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's just – it's whatever, guys. It's fine. You know, I don't need it. It's okay.
And I'm just going to dovetail off of Eric's point real quick. I had a phone call. Somebody had a complaint this morning and, mm-hmm. you know, came right into my office and, you know, I talked to the individual and they were like, I didn't expect to talk to you. Well, this is local government. We're going to talk to you. You know, if you're nice, if you're polite,
yeah.
You know, if you call dropping F-bombs right away, that makes it a little harder to have a conversation. We get that from time to time too.
Yeah. So do we. But we get you. I feel your pain there, buddy.
But, you know, if folks are willing to – and that's one thing I really appreciate about Eric is we've had – every time we've talked, it's been a very productive dialogue. You know, he's listened to what I've had to say. I've definitely listened to everything he's had to say, and I think that's what folks need to do. And, you know, one of the things I try to do, not always with the grace that I should probably do it, but remember what my probably kindergarten teacher told me is that, you know, you have one mouth, 2 ears – use them proportionally, you know, and I think that's what folks need to do is just make sure we're listening before we start talking and we can learn and, get a little bit further and see what the other person has to offer.
I will say, when I first came up with this idea to bring you two together and kind of have this public dialogue, which I understand there's been a lot of private dialogues going on behind closed doors, you know, during the whole Quaker saga, which I think is admirable, you know, because I think a lot of times when we hear about these kinds of things, you never hear about the other sides going and, you know, sitting down and actually talking about it. So I commend both of you on that. But Trey, you bring up a good point in, you know, you have two ears, one mouth, you know, use them proportionally. Ears are not only good for listening, but they can also be used for filtering out noise, you know. And there was a lot of noise that was kind of generated in the background of this whole saga. But what was kind of funny about that was the noise being generated and the, if you want to call it, animosity that was being stirred up, you kind of brought up last month, was all from just people who had nothing to do with the actual Quaker Park issue. It was just people on social media doing what people on social media do and trying to stir up some kind of conflict where there really wasn't one.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know, that's the hard thing is there are, you know, as I tell people, my nature in life is when there's a fire, I'm bringing a hose. But there's people, when there's a fire, they want to bring gasoline. It's just in their nature. They're going to bring gasoline to the fire to make it go bigger and – you know, and as much, and this is what I keep on, calm, take a deep breath, you know, call and ask questions, you know, and there, and I think what really kind of got me is just some of the uninformed people who had opinions, and the opinions were just, I hate saying this, were just wrong. It had, you know, this was entirely about the land bank and what they were doing. This was not a commission priority. This wasn't something commission was pushing for. This wasn't an opportunity to sell real estate.
Well, and
as
talking,
some people
talking
put
to
on
Jamie
Facebook.
Souter, he even said there. He goes, "I was never in favor of this because I didn't really know what the upside was. It was a small development project that would have brought three houses when we really, you know, speaking broadly, you know, it would have brought three houses to a situation that needs more like 3,000. You know, it." It seemed like people were just kind of jumping to conclusions, as you said.
Yeah, and that was the frustrating part is, you know, where's the profit for this? No, there was no profit. We're going to abate taxes for 10 years on these. And, you know, and that's with the Neighborhood Revitalization Program. Just frustration that people assume that there's a profit motive. Are there some ulterior motive when there's not?
Right.
And that, you know, and that, you know, that, and I want to stress, that was not coming from the organizers, but these were just people, casual people who would normally drive by, who kind of decided to get out of their car and throw gasoline on the situation, to carry out my metaphor.
And Eric, it seemed like a lot of that noise, while they were pushing towards anti-city, pro-Quaker, I got to imagine that that was not exactly beneficial to you and your team. If anything, it could only cause more issues.
Yeah, it was certainly frustrating. You know, we're trying to work together. We're trying to work with all the people that are involved, and getting on Facebook and blasting and questioning motives and name calling, and none of that stuff is productive or helpful. You know, like I said before, I personally checked all of the signatures to make sure that we had enough registered voters who had signed. And certainly some of the loudest, most critical voices on Facebook, their names did not appear on the petition itself. So you got to question. I guess it's just the nature of social media. People will say things with that sort of protection of the internet that they would never say to somebody's face. I think we saw a lot of that.
Trey had made a comment last month that he actually kind of said to me afterwards. He goes, "I think I went too far in that." And I told him, "No, I don't think you did." Where he basically called those individuals, you know, insiders. I mean, really, you know, just trying to start things. Trey, I'll do one better, and I won't take it back either. I think those people were just flat out cowards. I mean, really, it is cowardly, and I think it is just, it's, you know, third grade fight. You know, you're just there to try and cause drama.
And, you know, I don't want to dismiss this and say, if you have a real concern, don't do this. You know, if I, you know, one thing I am huge on, if there is actual corruption, call it out. Go to the right sources. Bring it to my attention. Bring it to the county attorney's attention, you know, if you see real corruption. Because there's not a place for that in government. But we cannot make this tangential jump that everybody who is in government is corrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it really hard for us to do our job. That's very disingenuous to the – you know, we have 250 hardworking employees at the city of Emporia. I'm not going to dwell too much on this. When we have a bad actor, they're gone from our organization. Mm-hmm. You know, we will not tolerate anybody who is taking a bad action and violating the public trust. So, and our employees and our commissioners, they have hearts of a servant, and we want to make sure that they have a heart of a servant. And when they're out there, when people are trying to blister, especially my employees, mm-hmm. and it starts to give folks calluses, and I don't want to see that. I want their hearts to be pure. I want them to go out and for folks to really realize that public service is a noble calling, and the 250 employees are absolutely committed to making Emporia a better place.
Well, kind of bringing this full circle now to an extent, obviously Quaker Park will remain a park, again, due to the wonderful work of Eric Paul and his team and everybody involved with the petition. So big round of applause to you guys. I wish I had
– Where's the button? Where's the button?
I wish I had Ron's little applause button that he plays in the morning show. But really, I commend you. I'm a lifelong Emporian. You know, I was born and raised here. And even to me, you know, it was very inspiring to see people who are not from our community originally taking that kind of action. So as a lifelong Emporian, thank you for what you did. And really, kudos on, I think, not only – saving a park, but really showing people that there can be positive dialogue between residents and city leadership. And it's not, you know, you have to walk up a high ivory tower to get a word with them. All you got to do is walk through the front door, you know. So I think you've done so much more than just save a park, and you should be very proud of yourself, and so should your entire team.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now my last question here really is, where do we go from here, Eric, in your opinion? You know, what do you want to see happen here moving forward?
So I feel like this is kind of the hard part. Yeah. The collecting signatures was easy because it was, you know, there was a diagram. We knew exactly what we needed to do. I don't have any experience getting equipment in a park. I definitely think the park needs to be improved, and I think that the lesson we learned from the beginning is that the people who live next to the park need to have the loudest voices. So I'm trying to get together a committee of folks who are interested. You know, I've heard from some local service organizations that they're interested in donating some equipment and some labor to the park. Talked to an artist in town who's interested in contributing in some way. Talked to somebody else in town who's really good at writing and receiving grants. She wants to help us with the park. And then I've got two folks who actually live in the neighborhood who are parents who want to be involved as well. And my goal is just to organize, to get them all in the same room and see what happens.
Trey, you've talked before about, you know, updates to parks like the ones that we have at Peter Pan, you know, some of the bigger parks. Not cheap. It's a pretty lengthy price tag, and the price only seems to be going up and up and up. But has the city at all talked about maybe helping contribute something financially to updates, or is that even a conversation that's happened yet?
I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, I got an estimate, $350,000 to do a playground like we have at Fremont Park or Las Costistas Park, which, you know, unfortunately, that's a big number. I think we do want to partner. If we can get a significant portion of that raised, you know, I think the city would want to find ways to partner to get something done there. You know, and I also really want to see the same thing happen at Walnut Park. You know, that's another community park that we're underutilizing. Urbanside is a little bit harder just because of its location. It doesn't not necessarily have that neighborhood constituency that we have with those other two parks. So, you know, and this was something I told Eric, Lindsay, and Dom when I met with them, was that, you know, I want to see our park space programmed. Even if it's a greenfield set up, you know, with soccer goals, I still want to see something so our parks are inviting, so folks know what's going to happen with those spaces, because I think that's important. Yes, there's a place for green space, but there's also a space to program that space and make it inviting for our children and our residents in the community.
I think just kind of summing this up, it seems like this one action by this group of people has maybe not only inspired the city to be more intentional, as we talked about in the last segment, but maybe has inspired them to look at what more can be done. So while I don't want to lock you into anything here, but definitely open to possibly sitting down and working with organizers, you know, on something in some capacity?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Obviously, can't be the full price tag because, I mean, that is a lot of money. But Eric's saying they've already got people involved, so maybe something small financially or at least something the city can do to help bring it up to standard.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for sitting down and having this conversation with us. I'm sure this is just the latest of many still to come, at least hopeful. But Eric, again, I just really got to commend you and your team. Great job, great effort, and great result here with the Quaker Park saga. So thank you for, first of all, being open to coming in and talking with us. I think a lot of
for
people
sure.
sometimes want to stay in the background, don't really want to be highlighted, but I think this deserved to be highlighted. So appreciate you.
Awesome.
And again, I really appreciate this ability that you and your team and the city brought to this, because it could have turned into something very ugly, and you all made it a beautiful thing, and I think something that really can inspire other people. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
All righty. We're going to take our final break here on The Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Emporia City Manager Trey Cocking. A few other things we want to cover here before we wrap things up. You are listening to the Q&A with Trey on The Talk of Emporia, again brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
Dining out tonight or wanting food to go? How about Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue? Home of the best smoked meats from ribs to brisket to pulled pork and more. Plenty of sides to choose from, including their famous cheesy potatoes. Enjoy tonight's dinner special. A brisket dinner that includes 8 ounces of thick, hand-carved, slowly smoked brisket, along with your choice of two sides, all for just $12.25. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
Newman Regional Health wants you to get the most from your health care in Emporia. Our surgeons have the experience and expertise to provide procedures using state-of-the-art robot-assisted surgeries like gallbladder, knee replacement, and hernia repair. All pre- and post-diagnostics, advanced imaging, and follow-up appointments are provided locally in the comfort of our community. Ask your favorite doctor or find us online. Newman Regional Health, achieving healthy goals.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. You're listening to The Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on The Talk of Emporia, the monthly Q&A with Trey Tegan Trehune, and joined in the KVOE studios by City Manager Trey Cocking. We were joined earlier by Eric Paul, one of the community organizers that led to the petition that saved Quaker Park. And again, Eric getting set to go on a family vacation, so we wanted to get him out the door and get him on his way. But, I mean, Trey, you kind of said it. I mean, very, very inspiring, and I think great work done here by Eric and his team to I think do much more than just save a park. They really, I think, showed the process does work.
Now, that sort of grassroots activism, activating your community is huge. And I can't stress it enough that what you do in Emporia makes a difference. You know, whether it's helping a neighbor, you know, one of my former commissioners used to always say, who starts the wave? And, you know, anybody can go out and, I mean, start the wave at a sporting event and, mm-hmm. you know, make it grow and make it work. And, you know, it's doing under others. It's doing those right things. And that's what I love about a community the size of Emporia
yeah.
is it's big enough that we have some resources and we're able to accomplish some things, but it is still small enough that individual voices matter and our community matters.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, you talk about the service and the work, and, you know, we were talking about Eric and his team really going out and, you know, civil service in a different way, you know, using their voices. we saw a very physical representation of service to one's community and our neighbors last night, or at least, you know, I saw it firsthand as I was driving around town, you know, doing the storm reports. There were people who, again, there were some areas of town that had significant power outages. I almost drove straight into a tree that had fallen across a roadway there at Constitution. I think it was West South and Constitution. And there was a gentleman there who actually flashed his lights at me. And my first thought was, what is this guy's problem? You know, how dare – that was extremely rude. And then I got up on the actual what he was doing, and I saw the tree, and I thought, oh, my God, this guy could have just saved my life. You know, because, I mean, I wasn't doing like 110, but still, you hit a tree just right, something goes through the window. I mean, things can go wrong, and people can get hurt very badly. This guy really was very kind in what he did. Wish I could have gotten his name, but you know, that was just one of several instances I saw of community service, of people getting out of their vehicles out in the rain and the storms and the wind. There was another person who brought the chainsaw out, was chopping a tree down that had blocked another roadway on Sylvan Street. You know, people going out, moving tree limbs off their neighbors' cars, pulling poly carts back in. You know, we talk about community service. That to me is an extreme form of community service in those kinds of conditions.
No, I mean, I applaud the folks who did that. As I drove around this morning, I saw wood that was stacked, and folks went out, made those efforts overnight. You know, I think, like, you know, and maybe that's the moral of this segment. Pay attention to KVOE. Turn off the national news, you know, because it's really easy to believe in the worst intentions of other humans when really, if we are kind, if we are, you know, my daughter who just finished kindergarten, if we listen to the things that her kindergarten teacher said, be kind, take care of your friend, clean up after yourself, clean up after others, we can be a better community. And it's, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy is when people will say, well, it's not as safe as it was when I was a kid. Look at every major crime statistic, and for the last 20 years, crime has gone down. Mm. We live in about the safest time to live ever. Still bad actors out there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we live in a safer community than ever before. And, you know, and it can be even safer if we just take care of each other.
I think we could probably title this segment alone, listen to the air quotes, small voices. Because, you know, we often hear in media and things like that, you know, the devil on the shoulder, the angel on the shoulder, the devil on the shoulder has the louder, booming voice. The angel has the smaller, softer voice. And I think it's a, in a way, it's a representation of how society had been at one point. But I feel as though people are starting to listen to the quote-unquote small voice more. And I think, again, that was what we saw last night. And as the manager of the city of Emporia, you know, how proud are you to see that people are stepping up? And whether they were just cutting up a tree because it was blocking their driveway, I mean, that's still going to save a lot of people time, and it's going to more than likely help protect people in just in general.
No, I mean, whether you're doing something because it's altruistic, I mean, if you're doing it because you're being altruistic, I'm going to give you a huge round of applause. Or if you're doing something just to help yourself, but then again, it helps the community, that's awesome too. You know, so I applaud everybody who's out there, everybody who's getting their hands dirty, everybody who's doing things to make a difference. You know, yesterday went down to the opening of the Zoo Education Center, which just the people who contributed to that project to make Emporia better is unbelievable. And now this is an asset that's going to educate our kids about conservation, about how we can save this beautiful planet that we've been trusted with. But that's all from Emporia. That is neighbors taking care of neighbors, trying to pay it forward. So anytime that we can pay it forward, I think that's huge. And, you know, nothing makes me happier as a manager when I see folks doing kind acts for each other.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap things up here on another installment of the Q&A with Trey. Of course, Trey will be back next month, third Monday of the month. Let's see. We are be the month of June. Already in the month of June. Wow.
I know.
6 months through the year. That's incredible. But
Entering into contract talks about 25 already, I think. I mean, it took us 6 months last time to get that figured out, so.
Oh, we got it figured out?
I signed something.
Oh, I thought we were just doing you a kindness. Okay. Well. Well, you know, next thing we'll probably be talking about, though, here on Q&A with Trey will be budget because, you know, you mentioned your contract negotiations coming up. Budget's going to be coming up here very quickly as you all kind of went over the basic timeline of when that's going to start, and it's coming up very soon. So we'll be looking forward to talking to you about that
June,
soon.
June, July is heavy budget time for the 25 budget cycle. So,
well, we will certainly be highlighting that next month. But until then, Trey, enjoy the nice day out there. Hopefully not too many tree limbs you got to pick up. But like I said, kids are out of school, so you got some free hands to help.
There we go. I'm going to get my kindergartner first grader.
First grader. I was going to not kindergartner anymore.
Yeah. Get her. Come on, Dad. To work this afternoon. So.
Well, fantastic. Well, Trey, thank you as always. Right. We do appreciate it. And again, I commended Eric and his team. I commend you and your team, the civility of this Quaker Park saga. And again, the way you listen to the quote-unquote small voices. I think deserves a pat on the back. And
really, they were big voices in this matter.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing what comes down the pike here in the near future. But thank you again for your time as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Hagan.
That is City Manager Trey Cocking of the City of Emporia joining us here on the Q&A with Trey. Again, Q&A with Trey will return in June, third Monday of the month. That's going to wrap things up for us here on the Talk of Emporia. We have the 12 o'clock block of news and information coming at you very shortly with Chuck Samples right here on 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com, live and local.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.